Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth, and we are so excited to have on the phone with us Dakota County friends that are going to tell us about the Spring Lake Park Master Plan and Natural Resources Management Plan, which is in its infancy stages, and we're going to learn more about it, but it involves trails, it involves river access, it involves history, and it involves bison. So I'm very excited to learn more from our guests, and we want to welcome to KDWA Tom Lewanski. He's a natural resource manager with Dakota County, and also Lil Latham. She is the senior planner with Dakota County as well. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Mo. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you so much. So who would like to start out first? Lil, I bet that's you. Give an overview, perhaps, of what the master plan is that you're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. So we have been working on updating the 2003 master plan for Spring Lake Park Reserve. And a master plan is generally, it presents a long-term vision of what we want the park to be and really focuses on improvements for the first 10 years. And at the same time, we've been working on a standalone natural resources management plan for the park. And it's about a two-year process, and we're at the end of it with a draft plan, and we actually have just finished up the public review period and we'll be making revisions based on that public input.
So back in 2003, what was the master plan for the area and did you achieve it?
In 2003, the plan was similar to the current plan and we achieved some of it. So things like the gathering center at Char's Bluff that came out of the 2003 plan. The Mississippi River Trail that goes through the park also was a recommendation from the 2003 plan. We like to update our plans about every 10 years to check in with the community and make sure that the plans are still reflecting recreation desires, natural resource needs, and really are responsive to what the community wants from their parks.
And when you mentioned that this has been something that the public was able to weigh in on, what were some of the things that the public had feedback on?
So the public is really interested in natural resource restoration and management. Tom will talk more about bison, but there's a lot of enthusiasm for reintroduction of bison to the park. There's also a lot of interest in trails of all kinds, and we're accommodating some of them in the plan, but people want to do everything on trails in the park, in addition to concern about impacts about trails, impacts to natural resources. A big thing that we heard from the community is that they want to get down to the Mississippi River today in the park. We have some wonderful views of Spring Lake and the Mississippi River, but not a lot of easy opportunities to be near the river or get onto the river.
So within the Mississippi National River Recreational Area, this is part of a regional park. Is that correct?
Yes. So Spring Lake Park Reserve is part of the Twin Cities Metro Area Regional Park System. And the park is a reserve, and that classification means that a maximum of 20% of the park can be developed for recreation, but 80% of it must be managed as natural area. And today, the park is about 12% developed, and if all the improvements that we're suggesting in the master plan were realized, it would be at about 15% development. So we really are trying to integrate recreation with good stewardship for the land.
And for people that haven't been to Spring Lake Park Reserve, where exactly is it located, please?
It is located just to the northwest of Hastings in Dakota County, and it's in Miniger Township and Rosemount.
And so this has been something that I know that you, like you said, you've been working on for a few years, and I like how it's been spelled out as far as timing and all of that. So I know one of the other things too that was important was trying to be true to the history of the area. Can you give us a history of the importance of this area?
Yeah, this area is Dakota homeland, and it's part of the larger Minnesota and Mississippi River valleys. And we know that for the last at least 8,000 years and probably much longer, Dakota people have lived all up and down the river. So this place is significant to the cultural identity of past, current, and future generations of Dakota people. We know that there are significant sites, including village sites and burial sites and ceremonial sites within the park. So one of the things that we've been trying to do with this plan is protect those sites and interpret them. And we've been working with the four Minnesota Dakota tribes, the tribal historic preservation officers, on how to best do that, both protect the sites in the park, but also share the rich history. The park also has a very rich Euro-American history and examples of early settlement and farming. And there are a couple of farm sites in the park, the Shar Farm, which buildings still exist in the park, including a silo. And there's a mill site down by the Mississippi River also.
So I bet you learned a lot about the history of Minnesota, especially the Native American history.
Yes, I did learn quite a bit about that history and really thankful for the Tribal Historic Preservation officers for helping guide recommendations within the plan. And we, of course, in this planning process, we also had a consulting team help out, and they brought a lot of expertise about history to the planning process.
I know one of your slides that you are presenting is integration of conservation and recreation together. What exactly does that mean?
At Dakota County, one of the things we're really trying to work on is this integration. We knew from the very beginning before we started the planning process that the park has high quality natural resources and significant cultural resources. So we wanted to protect those resources, enhance the natural resources. The park has some of the finest natural resources and native plant communities in Dakota County. And so we wanted to improve that by taking a light touch towards park recreation. So one of the first things we did was really dig in and map all these significant cultural and environmental sites within the park. And then we're trying to integrate recreation in a way that has a pretty light touch on those areas by avoiding them as much as possible, and where we can't, minimizing our impact. So in the future plans for future recreation, really focus on areas where we already have recreation or that have been previously impacted. For instance, there are areas that were previously home sites within the park.
That brings us up to the other part of that, which is the Natural Resources Management Plan. And Tom, that's what you've been involved in, is that correct?
A little bit, yes, Mo, I have been. Our senior ecologist, Joe Walton, has worked most closely with the consultant on this, but I have certainly been involved in parts of it.
And what does it all entail, please?
So the first thing that we do is spend a lot of time out in the park to survey what is out there. We want to know what the current conditions are. You know, are there rare plants out there? Are there remnant natural communities out there? Are there erosion problems? You know, just really getting a snapshot of what the park is like now. And we also do some historical research to figure out what was here prior to European settlement? What were the natural communities like? And then we come up with recommendations. What is the desired future? And during the public process, we share our ideas with the citizens of Dakota County and people of the area and get their feedback on it. And then once we have kind of a shared vision for what we like to see in the future, then we put down, you know, how are we going to get there? What is it going to cost to get there? What are, you know, getting down to the management units, all those sorts of things. It comes together in a document that really is the guide for us. The Natural Resource Program of Dakota County is made up of six staff, and we use these management plans really as our guide for managing and restoring the natural areas within the county's park system.
I think Dakota County really has some lovely parks, and it's nice to see that there's so much thought put into keeping them like this. I know one of the things that both of you mentioned were the opportunity for bison to be introduced to the area. There aren't bison there now, right?
There is not bison there now. They have not been in the county for, I don't know, 150 years or so. So prior to European settlement and the land changes that came with settlement, about 80% of Dakota County was prairie and oak savanna. And if somebody wants a sense of what the native oak savanna looked like, the Old Mill Park down along the Vermilion River, if you go down and stand in the middle of that, much of this area looked like that. And so the bison roamed Dakota County for thousands of years. Bison were such an important part of the prairie ecosystem. There were three drivers, if you will, Mo, that developed and maintained the prairie. One was the climate, another one was fire, and a third was grazing. And, you know, the climate is ever present, and we utilize fire as we restore and manage the oak savannas and the prairie. And so the third piece that is missing, that third process, is grazing. And we have an opportunity to reintroduce that grazing piece. We're not setting ourselves up to be a zoo or anything. We really are looking at how to maintain and maximize the diversity of plants and animals on the prairies. And we think that reintroducing the bison, at least to this park, will help to improve the prairie ecosystem.
So how is it going to work, please? Obviously, are they wild animals? They're wild bison, right?
They are wild bison, yes. We are working with called the Minnesota Bison Conservation Herd. It is a loose partnership, if you will, that's made up of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, the Minnesota Zoo, and now Olmsted County. And what the goal of that partnership is to establish a statewide herd of 500 animals that have no detectable cattle genes in them. Originally, there were between 30 to 60 million bison in North America.
Wow.
And they range from up into northern Canada, down into Mexico, from the Rocky Mountains almost out to the East Coast. Really, most of them, I think, were focused in the prairie region in the central part of North America. So there was a concerted effort by the U.S. government to remove a lot of the bison, but also market hunters. And so the numbers of the bison fell drastically from 30 to 60 million down to probably a couple of thousand. And as they were being eliminated from the landscape, there were a few people that wanted to preserve them. And so they put them onto private lands and bred them. Some people thought, well, let's breed them with cattle. Maybe we can get some of the attributes of the cattle into the bison. That didn't work out very well. But so what this partnership is trying to do is to make sure that they're as genetically pure as they can be. And so they're trying to, again, establish this herd with no detectable cattle genes in them. And so Dakota County is going to be partnering with them, and we will actually be getting some of the bison that they have. Right now, they're at Blue Mountain State Park, Minneopa State Park. Of course, the Minnesota Zoo has them, and Olmsted County Zoo has some. And when these places, when their animals reproduce and there's too many of them, they have to figure out, well, what are we going to do with them? So we'll be getting some of their animals that they need to cull so that they're staying within the carrying capacity of their particular park. And so we will use those animals to start our own herd within Spring Lake Park.
When the bison left the area, was it because they were killed off, or was it because they moved as a herd because it wasn't a safe place anymore?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly. My guess is it was a combination of them being killed and the fact that the prairie was being converted to farmland, that they didn't have the habitat that they lived on anymore.
What's the difference between a bison and a buffalo?
A buffalo is an animal that lives in Africa. It's a totally different animal. The bison in North America, its scientific name is bison. They're two different animals. And I'm not sure exactly historically why people started calling the bison the buffalo. But I guess that's the best way that I can explain it, Mo.
When these bison come to the area, how will they be treated? Are they enclosed at all? Are they going to be self-sufficient?
Yeah. So obviously they can no longer roam as they once did. You know, these herds historically would roam over hundreds of thousands, if not millions of acres across the country. We can't allow that anymore, obviously. We have roads and farmlands and people are living. So we are going to have a fence that will keep them on the prairie at Spring Lake Park Reserve. And we've had many discussions with the practitioners, the people that are keeping them at the state parks. We visited the Manawakan Sioux community, the Prairie Island Indian community, and the University of Minnesota is utilizing bison. And what we heard from all of them was when the bison have everything they need, which is water, food, and they have enough for their social structure, that they can have the society of it, they're content, they will stay right there. And people ask me, well, what happens if they get out? What happens if one of the bison gets out of the fence? It will want to get back in with the rest of them. Being herd animals, they want to stay together. It's more of a matter of helping that bison to get back into the range. They usually are looking for a place to get back in, going back and forth across the up and down the fence looking for the way back in. So we will incorporate a number of gates in the fence every so often so that if one does get out for whatever reason, we can open up the gates and we can kind of usher it back in with its friends and family.
It's very exciting. So you're working on some of those external fencing things and different things like that, and then the bison should be arriving in the fall of 2022.
That is the plan right now, Mo, yes.
And how many will come at first?
I don't have an exact number yet. It's going to be based somewhat on how many animals these other places have to get rid of. But I'm anticipating that the first bison will be about 10. And we have been doing quite a bit of forage analysis on the prairie at Spring Lake Park. We're estimating right now, we'll continue to do that this coming year, but we estimate that the maximum number of animals that we can have there, making sure that they all have enough to eat and enough room, is about 15. So it's not going to be a huge herd, but when we've been talking with experts, we think that that's large enough for them to develop those social relationships, you know, and be considered a herd.
Lil, are you as excited as I am?
I'm really excited about the bison coming. I think it's going to be really fun to go out and watch the bison and see how they improve the prairies and really enhance the park experience.
This is so great to talk to you both, and I'm sorry that we're out of time because this was very fascinating. We really are looking so forward to this, so please keep in touch with KDWA. We want to thank our guest today, Tom Luansky. He's a natural resource manager with Dakota County, and also Lil Latham. She is a senior planner with Dakota County as well. Continued good luck with your big Spring Lake Park master plan. We really appreciate you talking to us. And you are listening to another edition of Community In Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.